Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the poison needle right after this. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, banned from our public institutions, and banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they teach these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. You know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. And what worked was the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated these Ten Commandments and even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's at least one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So whether we call this the Mosaic Law, or the Law of God, or the Common Law, or Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? You know, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free General Law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? We've been talking about this thing of the poison needle and vaccination, and I said in this last program I would give you the 19 health laws from the Bible. There's an opposite. You know, where there's an up, there's a down. Where there's a right, there's a left. Where there's a heads, there's a tails. When we're talking about philosophy or economics or anything else, there's another idea or two. Sometimes there's two or three or four ideas out there. And there's a first best way to do something, and then there's a second best way, and a third best way, and a fourth best way. All of them get the job done. Or at least we think they all get the job done. But if it's at all possible, we would like to have the very best way because it's the fastest and cheapest way to get the job accomplished. That doesn't mean that the fourth best way doesn't get the job accomplished. It just costs more and takes longer. Now, the best way to deal with health is with the Ten Commandment model, and there are 19 laws that the Creator of the universe has set down. And if you violate one or more of those laws, you will suffer a penalty each and every time. And the reason for that is that if it was a law, there has to be a penalty, a consequence. If it's a suggestion, then you could probably do it without any consequence. Now, we have 450 of these symptoms, these diseases, these sicknesses, these plagues that are written up in our physician's desk reference. When you go to your medical doctor, he wants to talk to you, get some answers from you, and then he applies those answers. He wants to know, well, do you have diarrhea? Do you have headache? Do you have aches and pains? Are you coughing up blood? He asks you these questions because the various symptoms that he has in his desk reference correlate to these symptoms. And so he puts three, four, five of these symptoms into the desk reference, and sure enough, he comes up with a diagnosis, which is wrong 50% of the time. It's correct 20% of the time. So then when he gets the diagnosis, he says, oh, well, you've got cancer, heart attack, rheumatism, arthritis, or something else. He says, well, now here's our remedy for it. He doesn't have a cure. There isn't a cure for a single disease, not one. But he does have a remedy. And he does have a treatment. He does have a therapy. And that's what he makes his money off of. Now, that being the case, then he makes his living, he makes his profit, he makes his business upon the sickness and the disease that is the misery and the suffering of you and me and everybody else. No, nothing personal. It's just that's the way the game is played. That's the way he makes his living. Now, the creator of the universe comes along and he says, "Now listen, I designed you, I created all of your systems. Let me give you a handbook here." And in the handbook that we commonly call the Bible here in the Western world, or the scriptures, there are 19 laws that he set out. And he said, "Now, if you practice these laws, you won't get sick. If you violate these laws, you will get sick. You're going to have disease, you're going to have plague, you're going to have pain, suffering, and anguish." And so, as a result of that, I took a look at this and I categorized them all and I code-pled them out in the scripture. And they're hidden, they're in code. And if you've never seen them before, if nobody's ever told you about them, that's not surprising. And they've all been there, and they've been there now for 3,000 years. And the first one, if you got a pen and paper here, write this down. The first one is called adultery. And in my book, The Mosaic Law, there are 133 laws in the scripture, 133 subjects. There are 759 statutes. And I organize them in alphabetical order. So the first one is adultery, the second is bestiality, the third is blood, fourth is childbirth, and the fifth is circumcision. So adultery, bestiality, blood, childbirth, circumcision are the first five laws that deal with your health. And if you violate these laws, then you're going to have bad health. You're going to get sick. So the first one here, let me just show you, called adultery. What happens when we practice adultery? Well, we get sexually transmitted diseases, which are the penalties that are built into this criminal activity called adultery. And you may get AIDS, herpes, VD, hepatitis, gonorrhea. You know, I don't know how many of these sexually transmitted diseases there are, but I know that there's 7, 8, 9 of them, 10 maybe, something on that order. Do you get them every time? No. Yeah, you can go to the whorehouse and you can come out 4 or 5 times and you don't have anything. But sometimes it'll happen the first time and sometimes it'll happen the 10th. You never can tell. But if you keep after it, you can be certain that you'll end up with syphilis or gonorrhea or AIDS or something else. Now, if you don't practice adultery, then you won't get a sexually transmitted disease. Bestiality does the same thing. Let's flip over here to B for bestiality. Penalties are to be stoned. It's a capital felony. And the penalty for adultery is to be stoned to death. It's a capital felony. Now, we have taken these penalties off. Here in the United States, we don't punish people for bestiality or for adultery. But your sexually transmitted diseases come from bestiality, or it's another source for it. And if you practice it at some point in time, you're going to come down with a sexually transmitted disease. Blood is the third one. You get parasites, worms, protozoa, degenerative disease, Alzheimer's, and contagious diseases by eating blood. Now, in America, we don't eat blood. Well, it's not common. We have blood sausage, and there are a lot of immigrants that have come into the United States, and they eat blood, and they brought the practice with them. Now, we Americans don't eat blood. We mainline it. We shoot it into our veins through vaccination. Now, remember that blood is a criminal activity, and God has told us, don't eat blood. Now, if you're looking for a citation for some of these, if you'll go to Leviticus 3, verse 17 on blood, flip back here, one for bestiality. You're looking for a sample scripture here on bestiality. Let's see if I can find it for you. Here we go. Bestiality. Go to Exodus 22, verse 19, or Leviticus 18, verse 23. And that's two. Now, there's more than that. I don't have time. We'd be here for a whole semester if I was to give you all of the scriptures on them. Adultery, here's a good one. Try this, Leviticus 20, verse 10. Very simple, straightforward statute. Leviticus 20, verse 10. All right, childbirth, number four. There's a law here in the Bible. If you want to prevent cancer, bacterial infections, and viral infections, and you practice this law in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8, as it relates to childbirth. This is a disease that men don't need to worry about. Since we're not the childbearers and the females now have a problem. It's just like anything else in life that females don't have to be concerned about circumcision, males do. Men don't have to be concerned about childbirth, but females do. So it's Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8, and it deals with health, sanitation, and healing. Health and sanitation. Number 5 is circumcision. Let me flip over here quickly to circumcision, and we'll take a look at this one here. Let me give you a statute that compels it here in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 4. That'll be a pretty good one there. Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 4 is a sample statute that requires circumcision. Now, let me tell you a little story here while we're progressing along. Circumcision is not generally looked upon as a health law. It actually is, and the reason for that is that there's a disease called penile cancer. Now, to give you an illustration of it, here in the United States, it's fairly rare. We Americans have pretty good hygiene. Hygiene, that is, you know, we keep pretty clean. Now, in other nations in the world where hygiene is at a lower level, that is, people don't keep as clean. China, for instance, the rate of penile cancer in China is 14%. So when somebody comes down with cancer, 14% of the time it's going to be penile cancer. Here in the United States, it's, I think, if I remember right, we have about 1,200 cases a year nationwide. It's not a big cancer problem. It's not something to get real concerned about here in the States. Get this. Among the Jewish population, now Jews practice circumcision. Now, I don't know if they practice it 100%. I can't tell you that. But I don't know of any uncircumcised Jews. And then I know a few, you know, but I don't know hundreds, but I know a few Jews that I've done business with over the years and that I know pretty well. In the United States, I think it was the whole 20th century, they had two cases of penile cancer in a Jew. Can you believe that? And both cases were reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association. I mean, that's how rare it is. Among circumcised people, the penile cancer is virtually unknown. God never said to you, you know, get circumcised because it'll be good for your health. It's a benefit that we have observed through science. If it hadn't been for medicine and science, we wouldn't have known that. Who else keeps track of those kinds of records or statistics? But, you know, there it is. I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting it to you. So it's not primarily a health law. God didn't give a circumcision because he wanted you to be healthy. It was for another purpose. But the consequence of it, the health benefit that derives from it, I think is pretty significant. All right, now, clean meats is number 20. Now, in my book, The Mosaic Law, I've put all of these laws in here in alphabetical order so that they're easy to find. In other words, if you were looking for circumcision, you'd simply look up circumcision in the index, and it would tell you that it's number 18. It's in chapter 18, that is, the chapter to find it. Now, clean meats is in chapter 20. So if we were to look over here at chapter 20, clean meats, what happens when you eat unclean meat? Religious people think that if you eat unclean meat, over here you're going to be ceremonially defiled, whatever ceremonially defiled means. I couldn't find that term in the Bible. Ceremonial defilement I can't find in the Bible. Now, it is true that there is a distinction now between clean and unclean. I don't know why we use that in the King James, you know. Permissible or impermissible, you know, would be just as good a term. But God has set out in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, so if you'd look up those two chapters, it'll tell you all the clean and unclean statutes in the Scripture. And then, for instance, eating blood, fat, pork, turtle, alligator, shrimp, lobster, crab, those are called unclean. Don't eat those. Your body can't digest them, and because it can't digest them. Now, I know somebody's going to, I've been eating shrimp all my life. Okay. I hear you, partner. Go ahead and keep right on eating it. Don't let me get in your way there. But when you eat shrimp, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your body, and the toxic waste in the shrimp builds up in the fat tissue in your body. There are certain animals, especially in the oceans, you know, that are cleaning fish. You know, they're bottom feeders. They're there to keep the water clean. They're like wolves and coyotes and buzzards. They're carrion eaters. They eat the scraps. They eat the unclean. Now, there are some clean animals. Tuna is a good clean fish to eat. Cows, that is, beef, good clean one to eat. Sheep, goat. And then there's a long list of clean animals to eat, and God says, go ahead and eat those are good for you. And he says, don't eat these others. Now, the problem that we have with meat in general is that we don't make any distinction. The vegetarian says, see, the reason you're sick is because you're eating meat. And then he's not lying to you. Hey, you vegetarians out there, you hit that nail right on the head. And that's because these people are out here eating meat. But it's not meat that is the problem, it's the unclean meat that's the problem. So you can eat clean meat and you live to be 70. Now, you vegetarians out there, a lot of you believe that you're going to live to be 120 or 30 or 40. You might have something there. I don't think you're going to live to be 120, but the Scripture guarantees you 70 years. I mean, that's in the bag. If you will obey these health laws, you can't miss 70. Probably, if you're on average, you'll live to be 75.6, and that's what the national average is here in the United States. It's 81 or 2 in Japan. You Japanese people, now you've got an edge on us. If you eat unclean meat, your chances are you're not going to make it to 70. That doesn't mean you won't. It just means that your statistical odds aren't very good. God says if you're strong, you might live to be 80. We've had a couple, three examples of people living to be 100. And I think there's a couple of Guinness World Record holders at 122 and 120, things like that. God love Jack LaLanne. He lives a good, clean lifestyle, and he's 90 years old or more. And he's done a good job of that, and that's good. That's something to follow. Exercise isn't bad for him. And I don't know. He's probably a vegetarian. So if you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine, but you don't have to be. You can eat meat, but you can't eat fat, blood, and pork, and as an example, because you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach. Buzzards do. Wolves do. And coyotes do, and they can eat carrion, but doesn't affect them at all. So there's your clean and unclean meat story. Now, clothing comes into play. Clothing plays in the health laws, and that's in Leviticus 19:19. Let me see if I can find clothing here. Here we go, right up here at the top. Number 21, it affects your nervous system, neuroconnectors, and it creates birth defects and sudden infant death syndrome. And then if you want to get into clothes here, Leviticus 19:19 is a good one. Neither shall a garment mingled with linen and woolen come upon you. And the reason for that is that you have an aura around your body. You have an electrical field. And you can actually photograph that now in modern times with science. We now have a thing called Curlian photography, and we can actually photograph your electrical field. And this electrical field now, by the way, is important to your health. And what happens is when you wear mingled fabric clothes, it impairs your electrical field. Now, with precision, we can't tell you exactly why. It's kind of like your immune system. We know we've got one, and we can see the organs that regulate and control it, you know, like the appendix and thyroid and tonsils and adenoids, but we don't know exactly how it works or why it works that way. We have breast milk, and we can observe it, and we know that we've got 106 components in breast milk. There's another bunch. There's another 12 components we haven't labeled. We don't know what they do yet, and we don't know what they are. Now, when God created you women out there, he designed you so that you could nourish that baby with that breast milk. And when you do that, you get a better result than you get with formula, because formula's only got 12 of those 106 elements in it. 12. And they advertise it right on the can. It says 12 vital nutrients. Well, that's true, but hey, you got another 94 vital nutrients there that we know about. You got 12 that we're not quite sure. So we're constantly learning. I don't know where we got it in our heads that we could make better milk than God. I think that was mainly done by the business community. I think that they got it in their head, and they sold it to us. I mean, women here in this country, in the United States, they don't breastfeed their babies. They feed them formula, believing that it's at least as good as, if not better than, breast milk. I just thought I'd point that out there, that's just another dream. Another fantasy over here, but clothing is important. It's a health law, and that's why that law says don't wear clothes with mingled fabrics, that is, linen and woolen together. Well, when you go into the store and you want to buy a pair of socks and you see that it's 89% cotton and 11% nylon, I don't buy those. All right, next one over here, clothing. Copulation, number 23, copulation. It spreads contagious disease and bacterial infection, and a good statute on that one would be Leviticus 15, verses 16 through 18. And here's where health and hygiene comes in from cleanliness. Now, when we got into cleanliness, that is, we got to washing ourselves a little better, got taking more baths, and showers came on the scene, and we got sewers put in, you know, and we got clean water and a little better food, we noticed that all of our infectious diseases went way down. And then, of course, the guys that were shooting you up with snake venom and monkey pus took the credit for it. But then that's another story, you know. We've covered that earlier. They took the credit for it, but that isn't what caused it. And so when you're looking for cause and effect, health and hygiene comes right to the top of the list. Now, to give you a little science behind this, semen is not naturally rejected by your body. Now, if you get a splinter in your finger, well, your body recognizes that as a foreign element over there, and it rejects it. And we won't do that with semen. And for that reason, your immune system cannot deal with semen, particularly if it's got any disease pathogens in it. So the health rule is make sure that you wash it off. And so the better you practice hygiene, the cleaner you keep yourself, the better. And you know that. I mean, hell, even the vaccinators and the doctors tell you that. You know, when they give you your flu shot, you know, they say, oh, and by the way, make sure you wash your hands real good. If you'd forget the flu shot and wash your hands real good, I think you'd do just as well, maybe a little better. Dead men, number 28, D. Let's go over here to dead men, number 28, chapter 28. We got a statute over here, and God says, now don't touch a dead body. Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4 would be a good one. Numbers 6, verses 6 through 11. Numbers 9, verses 6 and 7 tells you. Numbers 19, verses 11 through 22 says that he that touches a dead body of any man shall be unclean for 7 days, and he shall purify himself, and on the third day, and on the seventh day, you shall be clean. You know, a lot of times people look at that and they say, well, see, that just deals with sacrifices and one thing or another. Oh, no, no, oh, no, no. When you got a dead body out there, and you've got parasites that are coming off of it, the ticks are letting go. All of the parasites in the body and the worms are coming out. And it's unhealthy. And so you don't want to touch dead bodies. Now, you can touch dead bodies of clean animals. Human beings are not clean animals. We're unclean, just like coons and possums. And you can't eat us. You know, that's called cannibalism, against the law to do that. So the bottom line is, undertakers, you know, they have to touch these dead bodies, and they have to be really super clean. I mean, these guys, you know, that are pathologists, they wear rubber gloves. And if you were going to touch a dead body, you should wear a rubber glove. You know, and you should be very careful that when you're doing an autopsy, you know, on somebody that's got AIDS, they wear chainmail on their hands. They wear masks and full face covers. They're very, very careful around the dead bodies of people that they know have AIDS, you know, and that's so that they don't contract the disease themselves. So health and hygiene is very important, and there's a statute here that deals with dead men. So you want to take a look at one there, Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4, be a good one. And now number 10, that's number 31 here in my book. So the 10th one down the line over here is disease, sickness, and plague. So we flip over here to diseases, chapter 31. Things like bubonic plague, fevers, inflammations, things like that. Those are the kinds of infectious or contagious diseases for which we need to practice quarantine. Quarantine is one of the laws of health. And wearing a mask over your face, which is what we had to do during the great Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, 1920, we finally got down to where we had to practice quarantine and wearing masks. And when we did that, we found that the plague died out and went away. Now, this plague is going to attack all of the weakest people in your society first. So when you get sick, it's because you're weak. And you'll see that in the scripture. You know, he says, you know, you're going to live to be 70, 70, 25,550 days. And that's under the contract. 80 if you're strong. 70 years, you know, if you're ordinary. 80 if you're strong. So the stronger you are, the better it's going to be for you. And so disease attacks weak people, people that have a weak constitution, we call it, a weak immune system. You're down because you've been eating poor, or you haven't eaten for a long time, or something on that order. All right, disease, sickness. Let's try this one here. Deuteronomy 7, verses 12 through 26. There's a good story right there about disease, sickness, and plague. And then God says, I will lay none of these diseases upon you. And the Eternal will take away from you all sickness, and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt, which you knowest, upon you, but will lay them upon all those that hate you. And then you shall consume all the people which the Eternal your God shall deliver you. This is quite a little program here. It works today just like it did in Moses' time. It's just that the reason it doesn't work for you is because you don't practice this law. You're practicing the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Vaccination is a part of that program, part of that agenda. Now, the opposite to vaccination are these 19 health laws of the scripture. 19 health laws. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. Now, the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on the archives page, and you can download it right there. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we have been reviewing a book called The Poison Needle. Let me give you the statistics on this. Poison Needle is written by Eleanor McBean. It's a 1 in 100 book. In fact, you may not even be able to find it. It's going to be rare to start with. The number of books that were actually printed, 5,000 in 1957, 5,000 in 1959, and 500 in 1974. So we're only talking about 10,500, unless it's been printed or reprinted after 1974, which I don't know anything about. The thing that's unique about this book that I've never seen in any other publication, and I've got hundreds of publications. In fact, just plug in vaccination in a Google search on the internet, and you can get, buku articles on vaccination and what the problem with it is. But the thing that is unique about this book is that it goes back into history, and it takes the history of it, going back to Jenner back in the early 19th century there, and the theory behind it sounded real good. I mean, it sounded like a real good program. Then they went out and actually tested it. In the process of testing it, they found out it didn't work, I mean, just statistically. And in fact, they found out that when they quit vaccinations, the death rate went down. So here you are, you're out here, you vaccinate people like crazy, and the death rate goes up, and you stop vaccinations, and they go way down. And it's supposed to work in the other direction. So the bottom line to it was that it was scientifically demonstrated historically, and in the laboratory you could duplicate it, and you can get the history of it. This lady dug those out from 1853 through about 1950, and not just one or two countries. I mean, she went to about 30 countries around the world and got the statistics, and then she published it here in this book. So Eleanor McBean, now if you would take the title, The Poison Needle by Eleanor McBean, start off here with bravenewbookstore.com, see if they've got it or can get it. That's number one. Then number two, go to your health food store, maybe two or three of them, and say, hey, have you ever seen this book before? Because this is where we got this book. This book came out of a health food store here in the Ozarks in Springfield, Missouri, some years back. Then the third place you go is to your used bookstore. And plug this into their computer system and see if there's some of these books laying around in some of those used bookstores somewhere in the world. All right, Eleanor McBean, The Poisoned Needle, a 1 in 100 book. Let's try number 11, Fat, F-A-T. Here's E, F-F-F, come on, Fat, here you go. Chapter 39. Fat causes heart disease, stroke, and degenerative diseases. It's a health law. There's two of them in the scripture, Leviticus 3:17 and Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25. It's against the law to eat animal fat. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a lot of vegetable fats out there that are much better for you, and especially if they're hydrogenated. Tuck that one away. Leprosy, number 72. Let me flip over here to number, am I right? Fat, yep, 39 jumps through over to number 72. This thing of leprosy over here is an English word. We use it, and it actually deals with more than just Hansen's disease, but also with contagious diseases, boils, lesions, and herpes. Now, herpes we like to categorize as a sexually transmitted disease, but boils and lesions also have contagion that attaches to them. So this whole thing of leprosy here has some statutes that regulate them. Let me see if I can find a simple one here. Here's Deuteronomy 24, verses 8 and 9. Now, if you want to take a look at a long statute on leprosy over here, you go to Leviticus 13, verse 1. So you just start off in chapter 13 and carry it all the way through Leviticus 14:57. It's practically two chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14 for practical purposes, and that'll take you through the leprosy statute. And here's what you do about it, and here's how you avoid getting it. Vaccination. Now, stop, think about it. You know, there's no vaccination for leprosy, cancer, heart attack, stroke, venereal disease. Now, they're out here conjuring up vaccines, and if these vaccines were made out of sugar water and you were paying $25 for it, you know, you'd probably be all right, but they're not. They're taking some pretty potent stuff and sticking in you, and it's reducing the effectiveness of your natural immune system in the process. Number 79, that's chapter 79 here in the book, The Mosaic Law, and it deals with menstruous women. Now, the menstrual fluid out of females is a highly toxic substance, just like feces out of human beings. And feces out of pigs, for instance, that's a highly toxic substance, just full of all kinds of disease pathogens. And the way we deal with our feces is a part of health and hygiene. The way we deal with menstruous women, for instance. Here's one. Let's see if we got a statute over here. We do. It's a Leviticus 15, verses 19 through 33. And it requires bathing in water, you know, and you got bed sheets and bed clothes and things like that, you know. You want to be sure that you, you know, keep pretty clean. I mean, if you had feces, you know, on your bed sheet, you know, you change your sheets, wouldn't you? Okay, enough said. Number 101 deals with quarantine. Let's look over here now to chapter 101 of the Mosaic Law. And let's see. Well, that's a long ways up here. Here it is, number 101. It deals with infectious disease, bacterial infection, things like cholera, TB, and bubonic plague. You know, we're facing some pretty heavy-duty disease epidemics. Even the health authorities tell us, hey, we're going to get some big ones here. And Revelation chapter 6 says that they're more than just big. They're going to be of biblical proportions and wipe out one-fourth of humanity on the planet. Now, you know, the gainsayer, he says, hey, we've been waiting for this forever. Well, be patient, because it's coming. And if it doesn't come in your lifetime, it'll come in somebody else's. And no matter whose lifetime it comes in, if it happens to be you in your lifetime, you want to be able to live through this. And quarantine is the way to do it. You're probably going to try to rely upon vaccines. That's what they're telling you now. Come in and get your vaccine. But the vaccine's going to kill you. I had a nurse here not too long ago, and she works in a nursing home. And she said every year they come through and they shoot up just about all the people in the nursing home for the flu. And then she says every year about 10 or 12 of them die. They get the flu. The flu then turns into pneumonia. And pneumonia then kills them. And then they sign their death certificate, died from pneumonia. They never put down there, hey, killed this old lady because she got her flu shot. She was in good health until she got her flu shot, and then 3 days later she got the flu, and then 6 or 8 days later it turned into pneumonia, and then 3 days later she died, and we're just sorry as hell. Yeah. Now, old people don't need that flu shot, and neither do the young people. And in Japan, remember I told you the story, they stopped the vaccinations from 2 months to 2 years. They delayed it to 2 years. And they discovered that sudden infant death syndrome dropped by 50%. My prediction would be if you drop those vaccinations altogether in Japan, you could eliminate sudden infant death syndrome. I just bet you. Now, next item over here is running issue, number 104. Have you got a running issue? Remember, these are old King James translations. You know, they didn't know what infantago was, boils, HIV, AIDS, and infectious disease. They could see it, and they didn't call it. Now, today we've got labels that we hang on, these scientific labels. Try Leviticus 15, verses 1 through 16. So if you develop some kind of a sore and it starts to run pus out of it, you know, there's a logical way to deal with that. And there's a cause for it, and there's an effect that comes from it. And surprisingly, here in the scripture, you know, there's some logical alternatives to this thing of vaccination or allopathics, you know. Now, people in America are so ignorant now concerning their own bodies that they're totally dependent upon doctors and health professionals. They haven't got a clue as to what to do. Now, when I was a youngster growing up, the old ladies were the doctors. And my granny knew exactly what to do for pneumonia. She got mustard plaster out. When something came up, you know, like infantago and all these kinds of skin rashes and diseases over there, she didn't have a problem with that. Hell, she had gentian violet. Now, many of these remedies, you know, like the other day we went in to buy some iodine. You can't buy iodine. You can't get gentian violet. You have to go to the vet to get gentian violet to treat scabies and ringworm on cattle. We just bring it in the house and use it for ourselves. You know, if I were to pick up ringworm, you know, off of a cat or dog or something like that, you know, the answer to it's easy. Now, the reason that they take that stuff off the market is to stamp out competition. And they've done a marvelous job. I got to hand it to the medical profession. They have teamed up with government, and they have created a medical monopoly like nothing you've ever seen. I mean, it is foolproof. You've really got to be crafty, you know, in order to practice alternative medicine, healing, or anything like that here in the United States. All right, sanitation, number 16. Now, here's the real key to success. Sanitation will just about take care of all of your diseases. I mean, if you can keep clean, you can keep from spreading disease. Now, you need nutrition to make sure you've got a good, healthy immune system. So if you'd quit eating fat and blood and unclean meat and keep yourself clean, you know, that's about 90% of the battle. Yeah, but just about 90%. Now, there's a few other little kickers over here, you know, like semen. That's a toxic waste. Be careful for that one. And menstrual fluid, that's another toxic waste. Feces, that's toxic. Urine isn't. Urine's sterile. But feces isn't, and that's a tough one. Menstrual fluid, semen. You need to keep clean. You need to keep that washed off. And if you can do that, you know, that's going to be a big step in the right direction. Now, in sanitation, take a look at Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14. which deals with septic tanks and sewers. See, here in America, what we do, we flush it down the toilet, and it goes down to the sewage treatment plant. Then we run it through a lot of chemicals and one thing and another, and then we flush it out into the Mississippi River. Then it runs down the Mississippi River, and we suck it into the next town down there, and we run it through our water treatment system, put a lot of chemicals in it, fluoride and chlorine, and then we drink it. And then we flush it down the toilet, and it runs down the sewer line to our sewage treatment plant. And then we treat it with a lot more chemicals, and then we flush it down the Mississippi River to the next town, so that by the time it gets to New Orleans down there, you people down there in New Orleans get in the picture. That's why I wouldn't want to live in New Orleans. Now, next story over here. Sex and incest, number 110. Let's try this sex and incest. If God made anything better than sex, he kept it for himself. But in the sex story over here, if you'll go to Leviticus 18, verses 7 through 18, that'll tell you about incest. And like Leviticus 19, verse 20, you know, tells you a little something here about sexual relations, you know, with just, you know, casual people, bond servants, and, you know, bond maids and things like that. And it's prohibited. It's an activity here that God has prohibited. But it has health consequences. So when God designed this thing of sex, he put in these little microbes like gonorrhea, AIDS, herpes, and other sexually transmitted diseases, so that unlike the highway patrolman who has to have a radar gun to catch you speeding, we don't have to have a radar gun. We don't have to have a policeman hiding behind a billboard watching you go into Mustang Ranch. It's all automatic. It all happens at the microscopic level. And one day you come down with a sexually transmitted disease, and all of a sudden we can say, hey, we know what you've been doing. Now, if you wouldn't do that, there's a statute in the scripture that says the marriage bed is undefiled. And if you would keep your sexual activities within your marriage bed, you can live your life like Methuselah to 969 years and never come up with one of these loathsome diseases, as they're called in Scripture. Loathsome diseases. All right, so we got number 110 here. Then that's sex and incest. Now let's try number 112. That's called sodomy. Now, sodomy over here is an activity in the United States that they tell us. I don't know if this is true. They tell us 10% of us are engaged in. If that's true, there's 30 million Americans that are engaged in sodomy. Now, if that's the case, that's quite a bunch of people. And those 30 million sodomites are going to get sick, and all except the females. See, the lesbians over here, you get a free ride. Free ride. Until God himself decides that there's a remedy for this, which is called fire and brimstone or earthquake or flood or something. I don't know. But for the males, just to give you an illustration as to how this works, here in the United States, the average lifespan of a male sodomite, I guess that's redundant, sodomite for all males, the average lifespan is 45 years. Now, the average lifespan of Joe Sixpack American is 75.6. So what does that tell you? Now, if these sodomites get AIDS, then their average lifespan is 39. So I just thought I'd pass that one on. It's self-enforcing there, fellas. Just, you know, don't get mad at me now. I get letters in here and they say, well, you homophobic, you anti-Semitic, you racist, you hate monger. You know, I get all these labels. I imagine Moses must have got that, and I'm sure that Jesus did, and John the Baptist, and Elijah, and everybody else. Now, I don't want you people to think I'm a religious guy, and I'm out here, you know, comparing myself to Elijah and Moses and the rest of the guys out there. I'm just pointing out that as a law school instructor, years ago, I took a look at this, and I said, American law comes from the Bible. Yeah, I didn't make it that way. I'm just telling you, that's where it comes from. And our institutions and our court decisions, you know, and I've reported on this in the past, you know, the Ten Commandments and American law and indeed Anglo-Saxon law, whether you're in England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, Germany, you know, your law comes from the Ten Commandments just like ours did. So when I report on that, you know, I can't leave out sodomy. I mean, that's just where life is. So a good chapter, a good scripture on sodomy is, Leviticus 20, verse 13, I begin. There's one, two, three. There's three of them. Leviticus 20, verse 13. Whores. You know, we like to go to the whorehouse, Flo's whorehouse. And that's number 19. And it's number 127 here in my book. See if I can find it. Here's whores. Number 127. We get things like sexually transmitted diseases from whores, prostitutes. And a good one here, Deuteronomy 23, verses 17 and 18. There shall no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel, and you shall not bring the hire of the whore or the price of a dog into the house of the eternal for any vow. It's against the law to do that, and it's got health consequences that comes from it. Now, you can say, well, I'll go to the doctor, and he'll give me penicillin. Well, that's true. But for you women out there, you know, after you've had VD, it scars your fallopian tubes, and then you become sterile, and then later on in life, you know, you want to have babies and can't, and then you have to go to the fertility clinic, and then you got to adopt a Chinese kid, you know, from China or something like that, or some, you know, taking a kid from Haiti. I mean, you know, you could avoid all that. Now, it's your choice. Life is full of choices. And we got one more here I'm going to throw on you. Number 20. Remember I told you there's 19 health laws? Here's a health law. It's called wine and strong drink, alcoholic beverages. And the religious people, God, they hate booze. You know that? I've said this before. You know, Mormons don't drink Jack Daniel. Well, what's going on here is that wine has been discovered to be a health stimulant. It's good for you. The people of France and Italy, as an illustration, eat a lot of fat and very high-calorie foods, you know, rich foods. And they have a low incidence of cardiovascular disease. And so they got to looking at that and said, what do these people do? And they drink a lot of wine. I don't know if it's a lot, but they drink a lot more than Americans do. And so as a result of that, it mitigates that disease, you know, heart disease. Now, there's a second one over here. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. Evidently, he must have had ulcers or something like that. There's curative factors in wine. And so here's a couple of three, you know, just for funsies over here. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 through 27, dealing with the Feast of Tabernacles. That's a pretty good story on wine and strong drink. You know, can you drink Jack Daniels? And, you know, can you drink wine and beer and one thing and another? Religious people would tell you, no, no, 1,000 times no. God says, yes, yes. Not 1,000 times, but about 40 times, yes. So there's the story on the health laws of the Scripture. The alternative to the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto and vaccination is the 10 commandments and the 19 health laws. Hey, I'm out of time again, so let me give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. And if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.